Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Friday, March the 1st. It is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today marks a seasonal shift. In the northern hemisphere, March 1st marks the beginning of meteorological spring. The changing seasons on Earth are a beautiful dance orchestrated by two primary factors: the Earth's tilt on its axis and its revolution around the sun. The Earth isn't perfectly upright. It has a tilt. And this tilt means that different parts of the Earth receive varying amounts of direct sunlight through the year. It's a revolution. As the Earth travels around the sun, the different hemispheres are exposed to the sun's rays at different angles. We live in the northern hemisphere, the North Pole. When it's tilted towards the sun, we experience summer with longer days and warmer temperatures. When it's tilted away from the sun, we experience winter with shorter days and colder temperatures. Metaphorically, this natural cycle of seasons beautifully reflects our own spiritual journeys. We experience periods of spiritual growth akin to spring and summer, where we feel a sense of renewal, connection, and productivity. However, just as winter follows summer, we also encounter seasons of difficulty or challenges, like autumn and winter. These periods can be times of reflection, introspection, and even dormancy. However, just as the earth emerges from winter to experience spring again, we too can emerge from challenges stronger and renewed. These periods of difficulty, though seemingly barren, can be times for deeper growth and transformation within our spiritual journeys. And just as nature cannot skip seasons, rushing from spring's bloom directly into winter's frost, we can't skip seasons either. Our spiritual lives unfold at their own pace. We may yearn for the vibrant energy of a spiritual summer, filled with fervent prayer and overflowing joy, but attempting to bypass the quieter autumn of reflection or the introspective winter of challenges can hinder our growth in the long run. Each season, both in nature and in our faith journey, holds its own unique purpose. Spring awakens new beginnings and fresh growth. Summer allows us to flourish and bear fruit. Autumn invites us to release and surrender, preparing for the internal renewal that winter brings. Winter, though seemingly dormant, provides fertile ground for reflection, pruning, and preparing for the next cycle of growth. Embracing the full tapestry of seasons in our spiritual lives, both the joyous and the challenging, allows us to develop a deeper faith rooted in resilience and trust. Just as the earth patiently awaits the spring thaw after a cold winter, we too can find strength and hope in knowing that even in the midst of spiritual winters, the seeds of growth are being nurtured, waiting for their time to bloom. While your blooming season is yet to come, beloved, the in-between time is far from empty. So instead of you sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away, here's what you ought to be doing: cultivating the soil. Continue to read scripture, pray, and seek out spiritual guidance. This consistent nourishment helps strengthen your roots and prepares you for future growth. Practice gratitude. Even the challenging times, there is always something to be thankful for. A grateful heart fosters a positive outlook and opens you to blessings in unexpected places. Part of cultivating the soil is serving others. Helping those in need is not only beneficial for them, but also brings fulfillment and connects you to something larger than yourself. While waiting, cultivate the soil, but also embrace the season. Learn from the stillness. Use this time for introspection and reflection. Ask yourself questions about your journey, your values, and areas for personal growth. Develop resilience. Challenges are inevitable. Embrace this period as an opportunity to build your spiritual muscles. Learn coping mechanisms and find strength in your faith. Seek out community. Surround yourself with positive and supportive individuals who can offer encouragement and guidance during this time. And remember this, growth doesn't always look like blooming. That's a sermon in itself. Sometimes it's about developing a strong root system unseen beneath the surface. So embrace the in-between by nurturing your spirit, learning from the experience, and trusting that your blooming season will come more beautiful and resilient than ever before. So welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Over 100 of you have been tuning in consistently every morning. And if this is your first time tuning in, my name is Marcus D. Collins, and I am privileged to lead an amazing group of people called Grace Community Church. And on March 17th, mark it down, we will celebrate 7 years as a community. And we are thrilled to share this sacred space with you today. Why don't we succeed? This is what we talked about yesterday. One of the reasons we don't succeed is because we focus on the what without first understanding the how. And what I really wanted you to grasp from our conversation yesterday is we often mistakenly believe that simply having grand goals will lead to success. The quote, "You don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems." It highlights the critical importance of focusing on the how, the daily routines, habits, and systems that propel us towards our aspirations. Therefore, changing the systems equals changing the outcomes. When we prioritize fixing our systems and processes, habits, and daily actions that shape our lives, the outcomes we desire will start to take care of themselves. But another reason we don't succeed is because we don't see progress fast enough. You're going to walk on a treadmill 3 days this week, and then you get on the scale and you gain 2 pounds and you declare, "This ain't working." You read your YouVersion Bible plan on your phone for 4 days straight, and then driving to church, you get a flat tire, the hot water tank at your house go out, and you say, "This thing ain't working." You stop drinking Starbucks coffee to save money, and you go a whole month and you save $100, and now you don't owe $68,557 on your Navient student loan. Now you owe $68,457. And you saying, "I can't even make a dent in this." When we don't see progress fast enough, we all conclude that small decisions don't matter all that much. But we wrongly conclude this. We wrongly conclude this small God-honoring habit, this small faithful decision, this small good and positive action doesn't make that big of a difference. Then on the flip side, the not so good things. You go and you play video games for 4 hours straight, and your wife ain't happy, but she don't leave you. You skip church for 2 weeks in a row. Your whole world ain't falling apart. Nothing tragic happens to you spiritually. You eat a third of those Russell Stovall, whatever they call chocolates. It don't change that much on the scale. And you conclude the not so good decisions ain't making that much of a difference. And then you say the small good decisions don't really move the needle. And you and I miss the truth of what is impacting our lives in massive ways. Here it is. Our life is a sum total of all the decisions that we make. I learned something at 21, the power of compound interest. Imagine investing a small sum of money and earning a modest annual return. Each year, that return is not only applied to your initial investment, but also to the accumulated interest from previous years. And this creates a snowball effect where your money grows exponentially over time. Similarly, church, our lives are a product of compound decision making. Every choice we make, big or small, has consequences that ripple outwards, shaping our experiences and influencing our future selves. You see, we rarely wreck our life and end up in a really bad place all at the same time. What tends to happen? You make a small decision, a little compromise here, cut the corner there, fudge a little bit here, lie a little bit there, bend the rules a little bit here. If you take a step over the line here, and then one day you wake up and go, how the world did I screw up my life so much? Well, beloved, you didn't do it all at one time. How did you do it? One little bad decision followed by another. It's funny now, but my mama used to say to us growing up, you know, if you lie, you'll steal. If you steal, you'll kill. And, you know, we thought she was being over the top, but what she was really saying was this: one little bad decision can lead to bigger decisions that will wreck your life. Then you take someone who is thriving, they're living the end result of what you want. And you look at that and think, well, how did they get there? They didn't get there all at once. Again, it was one small decision at a time. It was a moment of self-sacrifice. It wasn't luck. It was a small discipline done again and again and again. And nobody else knows about the time you spent in prayer. And the time that you fasted and went without, and the time that you sought after God, and the time that you had to have difficult conversations, and the early mornings and the late nights, and the grind and the faithfulness and all the perseverance that it took for you to get to a certain point. They didn't see that. They don't understand it. But you realize it was one small faithful decision after another over a period of months, years that led you to the place that now everybody else wants to be. And oh, let me tell you something. You better not apologize when God blesses you. Folks don't understand what it took for you to get to where you are now. All they see is the harvest, the end result, the glory. They didn't see the seeds, the sowing seasons. And I believe this is a good place to encourage the turtles on the phone. Those of you who are moving consistently, but the change is taking place slowly. Remember this, beloved, God values consistency over speed. David, the shepherd boy, destined to become king. He wasn't chosen for his immediate strength or prowess. Instead, God observed him over time, witnessing his faithfulness and courage in seemingly insignificant tasks like tending his sheep. This long period of consistent character development prepared him for the challenges he faced later. The parable of the mustard seed, we talked about that on last Sunday. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds. Though tiny in its initial form, it eventually grows into a large plant, providing shelter for birds. This parable emphasizes that faith, like a seed, starts small but has the potential to grow and bear significant fruit over time with consistent care and nourishment. Church, these stories remind us that God sees the small, consistent steps we take on our faith journey. He values our dedication, perseverance, and unwavering faith, even when the progress seems slow. Stop trying to get it fast, because whenever we prioritize speed over process, it can cause unintended consequences. It'll cause superficiality, burnout, and frustration, because speedy growth doesn't always equate to positive outcomes. But for those of you who are moving slow, don't be discouraged. Just keep moving. You may not see it, but it's working. Galatians 6:9, it keep coming up in my mind. Let us not become weary in well-doing. I think that's a word for this season. Don't get weary doing what is right. Let's not become weary in honoring God. Let's not become weary in coming to church. Let's not become weary in living by a budget. Let's not become weary in counting calories and going to the gym. Let's not become weary in getting up 30 minutes earlier to seek God. Let's not become weary in fasting before our God. Let's not become weary in doing the right thing, honoring our marriage, honoring our relationships, forgiving our enemies, because at the appointed time, oh, I feel it now, we are going to inherit what has been stored up. At the beginning of the call, I talked about winter, spring, summer, and fall, the seasons of life, but I left one season out, due season. You won't find due season on the calendar. It ain't listed in the almanac. Due season is a different kind of season. Due season refers to the appointed and appropriate time for something to happen. It emphasizes that there's a right timing for things to unfold and flourish. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, Lord have mercy, we will reap if we faint not. In other words, it can't not happen. You ought to just put that in the atmosphere this morning. It can't not happen. It got to happen. It's a declaration that when we plant the seeds of intention and action and unwavering belief, we set in motion a universal principle, a process that cannot fail. Yes, Lord, to yield the harvest in due season, it's automatic. It's a reminder, church, that despite challenges, setbacks, and the seemingly slow pace of progress, the seeds we sow today hold the potential to blossom into something magnificent in the future. But Lord, we got to trust the process. We got to prepare the soil. We got to nurture the seeds, plant the seeds, and trust that in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I got some more points, but my time is up. We'll pick up here on Monday. But let's just put that out in the atmosphere one more time. It can't not happen. Lord have mercy. Let's pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this word. Our hearts are overflowing with gratitude for your constant presence and unwavering love. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom gleaned from this conversation, the encouragement to embrace the slow and steady journey, and the reminder that everything unfolds in your perfect timing. We pray for continued patience and trust as we navigate the seasons of life, whether filled with the promise of spring, the challenges of winter, or the preparation and anticipation of due season. Lord, grant us strength to remain focused on our goals, to persevere through our systems, through the difficulties, and to celebrate the small victories along the way. Lord, I lift up those who stand at the precipice, the cliff of giving up, their spirits heavy with doubt and discouragement. May your presence wash over them, offering comfort and reminding them of your unwavering love. Rekindle their hope, Lord. Remind them of the seeds they have sown, the small victories they have achieved, the strength they possess to carry on. Grant them the fortitude to persevere through trials, the patience to wait for your perfect timing, and the faith to trust in your plan for their lives. Lord, fill them with the knowledge that even in the quiet moments of preparation, their journey holds meaning and purpose. And Lord, we thank you. We raise our hearts to you in gratitude for the precious gifts of life, health, and strength, for encamping your angels around our beds last night, for waking us up this morning, knowing the joys of a new day. Lord, we thank you that last night wasn't our last night, but you woke us up this morning and you put sense in our heads, moving on our hearts to get on this call to hear a word from you. Lord, thank you for the strength of our bodies. Thank you for the health that enables us to experience the beauty of the world and connect with those around us. Father, forgive us for the times we have strayed from your path, prioritizing worldly desires over your will. Father, forgive us and cleanse us from the inside out. Create within us a clean heart and renew within us the right spirit. And now, Lord, as we leave this space, we ask that you would cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ. As we move about today, grant us traveling grace and mercy to arrive at our various destinations safe, sound, and secure. Lord, for those who are burying loved ones today and this weekend, Lord, I pray that you would comfort them. Draw near to them, Lord. Grant them strength for this season. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our church in this gathering, that as we prepare for worship, even on Sunday, Lord, I ask that you would prepare the hearts and the minds of your people to be in place to worship with the saints. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory and honor. It's in your name we pray this prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in to the call this morning. I am praying for you today. I am rooting for you today. Be encouraged, be careful, and be watchful. And we'll see some of you on Sunday if you're in the area of Montgomery. And for those of you outside the city, wherever you are, go to somebody's church on Sunday. And the people of God said, amen. Hey, listen, y'all be encouraged today. Peace.